And that's basically the parsha of Chaye Sarah. Now, of course, Chaye Sarah means the life of Sarah. And in the beginning of the parsha, she passes away. And the rest of the parsha, she's not alive. So why is it called Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah? The whole parsha is called the life of Sarah. When a tzaddik or a tzaddikus passes away, is it that they're gone or they're still living? Okay, the body is gone, but the neshama, kinalach, lives forever. By every yid, the neshama lives forever. And a tzaddik or a tzaddikus, even after they pass away, they have a big effect in the world. They have a big koyach to help in the world. So Sarah's koyach was still in the world through Yitzchak and Rivka. Okay, now in the last parsha, where Yitzchak married Rivka. So usually after a chasana kenalach, the chasana and kala will be blessed. They will have a bracha from Hashem to have a baby. Because there are three partners to a baby. There has to be a tati, there has to be a mommy, and there has to be Hashem's bracha. Three partners for a baby. There was a chosn, that was Yitzchak. There was a kala, that was Rivka. But kenalach, the time went on, they didn't have a baby. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, they didn't have a baby. 4, 5, 6 years, no baby. 7, 8, 9 years, no baby. 10 years, no baby. They're married for 10 years and they don't have a baby. Where's Hashem's bracha? They were married for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And no baby. And other people had babies even after a year or two. Even people that daven to Getchkes would have babies. And Yitzchak and Rivka did not. And of course, if a person is looking at that without emunah, they would say, look, these people daven to Getchkes. And they even daven for a baby to the Getchkes. And look, they got a baby, so that means the Getchkes gave them a baby. And Yitzchak and Rivka are davening to Hashem for 20 years, and still they don't have a baby? Look, the Getchkes give a baby, and Hashem doesn't give a baby. Now, kenalach, are you supposed to look how your eyes see a thing, or how your heart feels about it? Or are you supposed to go higher than your eyes and higher than your heart? In other words, your eyes look at something, you could understand exactly the way I said. But that's not right. Because it's not just that the Getchkes gave the baby. The Getchkes didn't give the baby. Hashem gave the baby. Only Hashem can give a baby with his bracha. So the question is, why he gave to these goyim who daven to the Getchkes? And Yitzchak and Rivka, he doesn't? Can we understand everything that Hashem does? Or Hashem is higher than our understanding? Hashem is higher. We can't understand. One thing for sure, the Getchkes do not give a baby. Only Hashem's bracha. And why he gives it to one and not the other, especially his tzaddikim and tzaddikis, we don't know, we can't figure out always the ways of Hashem. But of course, the whole thing is, the parsha is not over yet. Let's see what happens. So, kinalach, how do you get Hashem's bracha? You daven. Well, of course, Yitzchak davened every day, and Rivka davened every day. Both of them davened every day. They said, let's go to a special halakha place, and over there we're going to daven. Sometimes, kinalach, we go to a special place to daven. Of course, the shul is a special place, but sometimes there are special places that are especially halik, and you go there to say some tefillos, and you say some tehillim, or you daven over there, and you can get a special help from Hashem. So they went to Har HaMoriah. Who remembers Har HaMoriah? the mountain that Avraham took Yitzchak for the Akedah. And that is the place, of course, that Adam made his first korban. And Noach made a korban over there. And Avraham took Yitzchak. And later on is going to be built the Beis HaMikdash. All of these things on Har HaMoriah, the mountain in Yerushalayim. And Yitzchak went to one corner, and Rivka went to another corner, different parts of the mountain, and they're both davening to Hashem, please give us a baby. We want so much to have a little baby. Please, Hashem, we know we need your bracha, and we'll be able to have a little baby. We want a baby, please, Hashem, and they're davening to Hashem. And they daven to Hashem, and Hashem answered the davening. And afterwards, Rivka felt, hey, my stomach, it's getting a little bit bigger. I think I'm expecting a baby. I think I'm pregnant. Baruch Hashem, oy, I'm so excited. Hashem, listen to our davening. And as the time went on, she sure enough saw that she is pregnant. The Baichel gets bigger, and the Baichel gets bigger. Now after a few months, mommy is able to feel the baby moving already, because the baby is alive. The baby is not just alive when it gets born. The baby is alive the whole time that it's growing in the mommy, but she doesn't feel it. After a few months, she already feels it moving. She could feel it kicking. She could feel it turning around, because the baby is in there alive. It's a whole baby in there. Now, Rivka was so happy, I feel the baby already. Now, a normal baby, you could feel the kicking, you could feel the moving. You know, sometimes it's very active, you could really feel it. But then, a very strange thing started to happen. Rivka was feeling a lot of kicking. I mean, a lot. It hurt. Oy, my Baichel. I was never expecting before. This is the first time. But I know from other ladies, they said they could feel the baby kicking, but I never saw that they had such a boo-boo from it. I'm getting a boo-boo with so much kicking. What's going on over here? And then a very strange thing happened when she walked down the street. When she passed by the yeshiva, now remember there was a yeshiva of Noach, Shem, and Aver, right? Now at some point, Noach passed away. All right, so after Noach passed away, so Shem, his son, and Aver, this is actually a son of an Einikel, they were the Rashi yeshivas. Now, when Rivka passed by the shul and the yeshiva, the halakha place where they were davening and learning, all of a sudden she felt kicking. And she said, look, right when I came here, the baby started to kick. When I was a block away, or even a half a block away, I didn't feel so much kicking. And now I feel a lot of kicking. And then when she went past already, the kicking stopped. And if she turned around and went back, the kicking started again. She says, oh, the baby is such a little tzaddikal baby. He wants to run out and go to shul already. He wants to go and learn Torah and go to shul. See? That's why the baby kicks when I'm by the shul. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm going to have a little tzaddikal for a baby. And she walks down the road. Now, Kinalach also in those days were getchke houses where they used to daven to getchkes. Now, of course, Rivka does not want to walk right near the getchke house, so she'll cross over the street if she can and walk on the other side. But she has to go past that part of town where there's a getchke house. And as she's passing by, all of a sudden, the kicking starts again, very strong. Wait a minute. Why is this baby kicking by the getchke house? Oy, chas shalom. Wait a minute. I don't understand. It's probably just happening for no reason because the baby kicked before by the shul. If the baby wants to go to shul, doesn't want to go to any Getchka house. And she went down the block and she felt the kicking stopped. Let me see. Let me try that again. And she walked back a few steps towards the Getchka house. When she got near it, all of a sudden, boom, 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 kicking. Oy vey. What's going on over here? What is this baby? When I'm by the shul, the baby wants to go to the shul. So it must be a tzaddikal baby. But when I'm by the Getchka house, it wants to go to the Getchka house. I don't understand what's going on. And she decided she's going to ask a shayla to Shem, who was a halakha tzaddik, who was the Rosh Hashiva, and she's going to ask what's going on. And she went to Shem ben Noyach, and she told him what was happening, and she said, what's going on? And Kinalach Shem had Racha Kodesh. And you know, nowadays, there are certain kind of tests. You could even find out what kind of a baby it's going to be before it's born, if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But there's certain shilas on these tests. So mommy is not allowed necessarily to make these tests to find out what's going on, because unless, of course, the doctor says it's kind of an emergency or something. But of course, a long time ago, they had no such kinds of tests at all. But Shem did not need to come on to a test with a hospital with all kinds of fancy machines. Noya, Shem had Ruach HaKodesh. And Kinalach, he said to Rivka, you are not going to have just one baby. You are going to have twins. If you were just going to have one baby, of course, it would be very strange. Why that baby wants to run out to the shul, and the same baby wants to run to the Getchka house. But you are going to have twins, two babies. And one of those babies is the one that wants to run out to the shul, and the other one wants to run out to the Getchka house. And also, they are fighting. Even before they're born, they're fighting over all kinds of things, even in your stomach. And they're going to be two great nations. But both nations will not be great at the same time. When one is great, the other is going to be down. And the great one is going to take away from the one that's down. And if the other one is great, the one that's not great will be down. And the one that's great then will be taken away from the one that's down then. They will not be great at the same time. Either one or the other. And sure enough, Kinalach, Rivka went through a very difficult pregnancy with those babies fighting all the time and kicking. And finally it was time for them to get born. And it came time now that she was going to have the babies. And even when she was going to have the babies, there was so much kicking and fighting going on. And all of a sudden now, the first one came out. Now, in those days, they didn't go to the hospital. They had midwives. They had like lady doctors come to the house to help the woman have the baby. And as soon as the baby came out, they said, look, he's all red. And he's covered with hair. Now, a baby, when he's born, has hair, but is not necessarily covered with hair. So they called it actually two things. Edoim. Edoim means red. It was all red. And they called him Esav, because the word Esav means he was all finished with hair. He was finished with his hair. They called him Esav because he was finished with his hair. He was covered with hair. And they called him Edoim because he was all red. Now, as soon as Esav was born, he was born first. All of a sudden, there was a hand reaching onto Esav's heel. Like the hand of the other twin, the other baby, was holding on to Esav's heel. And then that baby was born. And they called him Yaakov, because the word Akev, that's from the same family of words as Yaakov, the word Akev means a heel. Since this baby was holding on to the first baby's heel, they called it Yaakov. Now, why was Yaakov, the second baby, holding on to Esav's heel? Does anybody know why? Let's see if you know why. Why was the second baby holding on to the first baby's heel?
He wanted to go out first.
That's right, he wanted to go out first. Why did he want to go out first?
Because he wanted to go to yeshiva first.
That's a good answer.
Because he wanted to be the bechor.
He wanted to be the bechor. Now, not only he wanted to be the bechor, now the bechor means the firstborn, but he was supposed to be the bechor. Yaakov was supposed to be the firstborn, but in the last minute, Esav pushed him out of the way, and Esav went and was born first. Because Esav wanted to push his way to be the bechor. Because as we know, the firstborn gets special things and special brachas, as we're going to see. So since Esav knew that the first one out, the first one to get born, will be the bechor and get special brachas and special things, he wanted special things for himself. Of course, he didn't realize that if you have a special bracha, you might have a special responsibility to take care to be good enough to have that bracha. He didn't think about that. He just said, I'm going to get something better and more to my brother if I get born first. So I'm going to get born first. I'll get more for myself. Hey. And he pushes Yaakov out of the way. And that's why when Yaakov was born, he was holding on to Esav's heel. He was still trying to push him back, to pull him back, that he should be born first like he was supposed to be. And so, Kinelach, Yaakov and Esav now were born. And in the beginning, these two babies were both, you know, babies of the tzaddik Yitzchak and the tzaddikus Rivka. You couldn't necessarily see a big difference between them until they were already now 13 years old by the bar mitzvah. In some places they say 15 years old. Then it started to be more that you could see the difference between them. Now, by the way, it's very interesting to know that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov lived together in the world, together at the same time for 15 years. In other words, in one room you could see Avraham, you could see Yitzchak and Yaakov all sitting in the same room together for 15 years. Because when Yaakov was 15 years old, that's when Avraham passed away. But the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, lived together at the same time, and you can see them all together sitting at one table for 15 years. By the time they were getting bigger, you could already see that Yaakov loved to learn Torah, and he loved to do mitzvahs and help and share, and he was very edel, and he loved to daven, and he loved to say tehillim, and give tzedakah, and he was always talking nicely, and he had kibud av ve'em and derech eretz, and he was careful what he ate and what he drank, and to make a bracha before and a bracha achreina. But Esav was wild. He didn't like to sit still and learn. He liked to go and play outside and run around. He didn't like to go to shul. He liked to run around wild outside and play. He didn't like to go to the yeshiva and learn Torah. He would go out in the fields with his bow and arrow and kill animals. Oh, that's what he loved to do, is kill animals. And he didn't like to work for money, to have money for himself, that he should buy something for himself because he worked for it. He liked to steal it. He liked to get it for free. And Kinelach, Yaakov did mitzvahs and learned Teda, and Esav was doing Avedas. Mishlecht. But Esav was tricky, and the whole time that Avraham was alive, whenever he was around Avraham, he behaved himself good and nice, and he pretended that he was a little tzaddikal, so that his Zaidi Avraham would think that he's a little tzaddikal. But as soon as he went out of the room, Oh boy, the way he would talk and the way he would behave was gefährlich. And kinalach, the Eibishter did not want Avram to have the agmas nefesh. In other words, the bad feeling that his enikel Esav is a rasha. And finally it came a certain day, and this was the day that Avram Avinu passed away. As I told you, Avram Avinu passed away when he was 175 years old. Avram was 175. Esav and Yaakov were 15. And that day, instead of going to the Levaya, Esav decides he's going to go running around wild out in the fields. He's not going to go to no Levaya to do any mitzvah, even as his own Zaydi. And Yaakov stayed home to be with his family. And of course, Yitzchak was sitting Shiva. And Yaakov was home helping. And he was even doing the cooking in the kitchen. And Esav was running around out in the fields wild. And this is what happened that day. Esav, you know, he has a bow and arrow. He's a pretty good shot. But if you shoot an arrow, sometimes you hit, sometimes you miss. And the arrows cost money, or you have to go get it out of the tree. And all of a sudden, Esav was by the trees. And out in the field, he sees very fancy horses. And he sees some soldiers and guards and officers. And then he sees a king. And he recognizes, hey, that's Nimrod. Remember Nimrod? King Nimrod? Nimrod was on a hunting trip. Now, Esav says, I want to see how Nimrod is going to be a hunter, how good he is. Because Esav says, I'm good. I wonder if anybody's better than me in hunting. And all of a sudden, Nimrod says to his men, watch, I'm going to hunt now a wild deer. And Esav says, yeah, he's going to hunt a wild deer. They're hard to catch. He's going to have to go in the forest and run after them to find them and probably shoot about 10 arrows. And he'll probably miss about 9 times till he gets it. All of a sudden, as soon as Nimrod says, I'm going to hunt a wild deer, there comes out of the forest a wild deer. There comes out. And Nimrod takes off his bow and arrow and shoots one, psh, bang. The wild deer is already finished. Esav says, how did he do that? How did he do that? Oh my, that was very easy for him. And all of a sudden, Nimrod says, and now I'm going to hunt a wild bird. A wild bird, oh, they're really hard. They fly up in the sky. And they fly very fast. He's probably going to have to waste about 20 arrows killing a wild bird. And all of a sudden, as soon as he says, I want to hunt a wild bird, there comes in the sky a wild bird. And Esav takes out one arrow, shoots it, and the wild bird is finished. Hey, how did he do that? As soon as he says he wants something, it comes out to him. All of a sudden, Esav looks closely at the suit, at the clothes that Nimrod is wearing. And he sees, wait a minute, I never saw such clothes like that. Look at those pictures on there. Pictures of all kinds of animals. I never saw such interesting suit like that. I wonder if that has anything to do with his hunting, because he's hunting those animals. And look, on the suit there's a wild bird, and there's a wild deer. And now Nimrod says, and now I'm going to hunt a bear. Hey, I'm going to get a bear. And as he says the words, I'm going to get a bear, he's looking down at the picture on the suit of the bear. And Esav says, look, he's looking at the picture on the suit of the bear. All of a sudden, there comes out of the forest a wild bear. Hey, look, he looks at the picture on his suit, and out comes a wild bear. He takes an arrow, bang, psh, gets the wild bear. And Esav says, look, wait a minute, this is a special suit. Whatever animal you want, you just have the picture on there, you look at it, and it comes out to you, and you get it just like that. Ooh, a special hunting suit. If I had that for myself, I'd be the best hunter, and I wouldn't have to always go running after my arrows. Oh boy, would I be powerful if I had that suit. Now, where did this suit come from? You know where this suit came from? This suit, Kinalach, was a suit that the Eibishter himself, Hashem, gave to Adam. And later on, Adam gave it to Shais, was his son Shais. Shais was a son of Adam, as we're going to learn later on. And later on, Shais gave it to Mesushelach. Mesushelach was the oldest man in the world who lived 969 years. And as we know, Mesushelach passed away a week before the Mabul started, and he gave it to Noach. And he says, Noach, take this suit with you into the Teva. And Noach put the suit into the Teva. But during the Mabul, Chom went snooping around his father's room, and he stole the suit for himself. And Chom had the suit, and he gave it later on to Cush, because Cush was one of Chom's sons. He had four sons. And later on, Cush had Nimrod, and Cush gave it to Nimrod. Nimrod was a son of Cush. And that's how Nimrod got the suit. Originally, it had belonged to Adam, and it was a suit of Halakite and Kedusha. But later on, the Rashoim got their hands on it, and they were using it for the opposite. And now Esav wants the suit, and he says, I'm going to get that suit for myself. And he was sneaking behind the trees, and he waited till Nimrod was in such a place that the other officers and guards were not near him. Esav ran out with his sword, or maybe it was a bow and arrow, and Kinalach, he killed Nimrod, and he took the suit. He stole the suit from himself for himself, and that was the end of Nimrod. That was the last of Nimrod. And now Esav starts running away, and the guards and the officers discover that Nimrod is killed. Hey, somebody killed Nimrod. Let's get him. And they're chasing through the forest. And Esav is running, and they're chasing. And Esav is running and running and getting so tired and schwitzy. And he's running away from those officers and guards that are trying to chase through. Hey, let's get him. Hey, I think he went that way. Hey, he's over there. No, he's over there. Where is he? We can't see. There's so many trees. Let's chase through the whole forest. And Esav is running and running, until finally he gets to his house, and he goes in the kitchen. And he's schwitzy, and he's tired, and he's starving, and he's shaking. And Yaakov is by the stove cooking a big pot of beans, lentil beans. Because, as we know, unfortunately, Kinalach, if somebody lost somebody, if somebody passed away, they have a meal of round things. The family eats a meal of round things. That's also the reason we have on the Pesach, on the Seder, by the Seder, we have on the Kaira, the Pesach plate, a round egg. Because the egg is also round, and we remember with that the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We're like crying after the Beis HaMikdash. We're like Avelim. And the round shows a few things, that the Malach HaMavis goes around and around the world, and you never know where he'll go next. And also, it doesn't have a mouth. A person that's so sad that somebody passed away, it's like they can't speak about how they feel. They feel so bad. And anyway, Yaakov was cooking this meal for the family, and all of a sudden, Esav comes in. Oh, a big pot of delicious beans. I'm so hungry. I want to eat that. Give it to me now. And Yaakov says, but Esav, you have to wait. This is for the family. I can't give this to you right now. No, I want to.